So that way you can kind of see. So I could say a lot. We've been doing this for almost a year. We started with getting trying to do the conditional use. We bought the property in November of 2022. We just had a baby, so I'm a little scrambled. Okay, yeah, it's 2022. We bought it, and when we went to buy it, we actually talked to the realtor and asked, you know, would there be an option to be able to nightly rental? We were kind of new to the Branson area, and we wanted the option for when we travel for work or ministry. And the realtor had called, I think he had called the zoning commission. I think there was a miscommunication because he said it would be fine. We were out of the city limits. And so we're like, oh, great. And then we found out actually you need a conditional use permit to do it in an A1. And so it's like, okay, that's great. Well, how do we do that? And so we spoke to our neighbors to make sure that they would be okay with it, or if they had any questions, we could address it. And so we spoke to all the people living around us. And at that time, they did say that they were okay with it. And so then we came to the meeting, and I'll keep this short, we had two neighbors showed up that were on either side of us who were not okay with it, and so we tried to address those concerns. One of the neighbors since moved, a new neighbor came in, and we came back to do the appeal to the Board of Adjustment, it looked like it was kind of, you know, if we had some things in place, we decided to put a fence in if that's what the neighbor wanted for the buffering. We said we would divert some of the, because the pond was made an issue, we made the pool stay more secure. And then, you know, when we came to the rehearing, they said, well, we feel like this is a new application, you need to start over. And the neighbors were still not happy about it, and they don't really want to talk about it, which is fine as well. So we said, well, maybe we need to just go the rezone route so that we can, you know, have it zoned that way. We looked at the fit, and I really enjoyed today listening to everybody. It's been really neat because it's been a lot of emotion in the previous hearings from the people that were hearing us and even the board. And then it is a matter of kind of who you know, and we don't know anybody. So, you know, it turns out our neighbor knew someone on the Board of Adjustment, and so that went, you know, the way it went. And so we're just trying to do the best we can. But I have a bunch of pictures I can show you if you want. I want to keep it short and it's the end of the day for you. But I figured the fit. We look at facts. So we're looking at fit and then safety considerations of where we're at. And so we have an NR3 right here, just like a quarter of a mile down the road from us. And then we have, I know there's some commercial that's around as well. It's a church down the street. We've checked in to see, you know, what does it mean to do an NR1? Because I know you want to look at what the future considerations would be. And we made, actually, Scott, do you have that... That little matrix we made for, like, the differences between as we change from the A1 to the R1, yes. So we made just a quick matrix. You probably already know all of this, but, you know, what would be different with going to an NR1 from where we are now? And actually, we plan on actually giving this to our children and being in our family, but just those considerations, we actually are a lot more limitations to what we can do with an NR1. And all we really want to do is just be able to nightly rental it when we're not in town. And we didn't want to fully commit it to a long-term renter, because we come in the town, this is our home, we like, you know, homeschooling our children here, but God calls us in ministry and work in other areas, and so we like having the option to be able to be at our home, but also be able to generate that income. We bought it in 2022, so you'll know what the interest rates were at that point in time, and so that really helps us to offset our cost for the place while we do what God's calling us to do. So so essentially, as someone mentioned, traffic issues, when we're not there, it would just be another family that's there. We are a two-car family, but the family we bought it from, I think, had three or four cars. They had teenage or older girls that were driving, so not a considerable amount of traffic issues or differences. We vet the people who say, I actually do property management for other owners, even in town, and I go through the platform, so everybody's vetted and they're relegated to reviews. And we have actually in the past had a long-term rental when we were back in Texas, and found that there was a lot more issues on the long-term than it was. And we've done short-term rental for people to see just the differences of safety. We called the, I believe it was the sheriff's office to find out if there were any calls or anything for the NR3 that's there. To see if there's been any considerable calls or complaints, and there weren't any in the last, I think, 7 or 8 years is how far they went back. So if you want pictures, I can show you buffering, but I don't want to waste your time either. So I know we have some people who want to speak again. So if you have questions, or I can show you pictures of, you know, considerations you might have.
Okay. Is there any questions for the petitioner before we go forward?
I don't.
And I appreciate that you guys let everybody kind of speak. I love that. It's just, it's been really neat, so, to see the process.
Do you have any other photos of the property there, Scott, that you can show us?
If you go to the presentation, we have a bunch of photos. So there was concern about buffering, and so you know that the NR3, and we front-loaded it, so you can just kind of just scroll through some of the photos there. So if you go back to the right after, there we go. So we were looking at the NR3 and the distance, and I think there's a picture there, Scott, if you want to scroll through. So that's how far the NR3 is from our house, so you can see it. And then here's a view of our house here. You can't actually even see our neighbors' houses from our house at all. This is one view, and then the other view from our house as well. When we went through this the first time to the conditional use with the Planning and Zoning Commission, it was mentioned, you know, the people who came up said, well, if they had a fence and if we did this, we'd be okay with it. So I'm like, whatever y'all want, I'm happy because I want to make sure everybody's comfortable. And then right when they voted, they asked, would you guys be happy? And the people said no, and then they ended up voting against. I think it was like 2-4 or something like that. So here we are. But any other pictures? Let's see here that we have. So if you go back to the – yes, and then it was mentioned that the pond was a concern, and so we looked at some ways that we could do to adjust the pond. We can not feed it, but the pond has a huge fence around it. So if that comes up, I don't know that they're going to bring that up or not, we can address that. But what kind of pictures did you guys want to see?
That's just what I want to see, was the property itself and the view.
Okay. Can you go back to the view, probably to the front of the presentation?
Through our pictometry that
yes.
We'll give you some pretty good. So here's the house in question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here's the house. That parcel is kind of an L shape that comes in behind the other one and comes up.
And our neighbors across from us are actually okay with it. They one of them spoke for us at one of the meetings. The other one has since showed up for the meetings. They actually want to eventually get a conditional use to nightly rental permit or their houses once, you know, their situations shift too. And I told them I'm happy to help them because I have experience with that. So, and same goes with our current neighbors. If they ever wanted to do that, they don't want to talk to us, we're always open invitation to discuss it or whatever they'd like.
Sure. Is there any question for the petitioner at this time before we?
No.
Okay. Sir? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone here that wants to speak in favor of the project? Anyone wants to speak in opposition of the project? Okay. Please step forward and state your name.
Hello. My name is Samuel Vernig. I go by Tucker. I'm in that house that Scott's highlighting on the screen. We're against it. Basically, that's what it boils down to. It actually failed on 212 for a couple of different reasons. So I'll just briefly recap those. It's failed a couple of times as well in the conditional use permitting and then just going down that route as well. Basically, what she's asking for right now, the NR3, if they put in a septic system, like a waste treatment plant, that zoning stays consistent with the property. And so it would mean they could have up to 40 units on that property, and obviously that's not compatible with the existing infrastructure. If they put in septic systems, they could have up to 3 with the zoning that they're asking for. And so I just don't think that the zoning is the best way to get this accomplished if that's their goal. My wife came up last time. She's busy today, but we have small kids. Basically, being next door to a nightly rental where we don't know who's going to be there one day and the next day, especially one that's managed by people that are out of town, fundamentally is just something that we're not necessarily happy with. They talked about maybe having somebody stay in a trailer, but then the whole point is they're trying to drum up revenue with this nightly rental, and I don't know how much revenue you could drum up if you're paying someone to be there. So I'm just worried about the management of the property. New person being there every night, just no way to really vet them. I know the computer does a vetting process, but it's going to be a big house, kind of in the middle of nowhere. I mean, to me, that kind of says Party Central. And then the price point, because it doesn't have lake access, would have to be low enough to be attractive to parties. Or families is how they've said, but I'm not sure that that's, I don't know. I think it's non-compatible. Neighbors think it's a bad idea. Basically, I've got a couple of neighbors here. We're all kind of in the same boat on that. should also mention during the off months, partnering with Elevate Branson and having homeless people come and live there. I'm not sure if that's still on the plate. Obviously, that's something that we're not really interested in being next to either. And some of the pictures are pretty deceiving that have been shown. You know, you can take a picture in a way that looks a certain way. We're all, I mean, they're a nice big parcel, but we're very much right next to them. And we can see and hear, and especially John, he's right in front of them, see and hear about everything they do. So that's all I have. If you guys have any questions for me, let me know. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Scott, when you come up Victory Church Road there, the drive, does the drive just go to these people's houses, or does it go to, do they share a drive in any way?
Oh, their driveway?
Mm-hmm.
Their driveway, and I don't know why, but it's probably because of the road across from it. It's Kirtley. Their drive is right at the corner of their parcel.
Okay.
It's their individual drive.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I'm trying to clear my throat without clearing. Is there anyone else here that wishes to speak in opposition to this?
You guys are both here. Against it, though.
I didn't come to the first meeting, and I came to the second meeting mostly just kind of hear what's going on, not necessarily had made my mind up of being totally opposed to something or not. But as I could hear what her heart is.
I'm sorry, your address and stuff, sir. Name and address.
2749 Victor Church, Shane Carter.
Okay. Which one's that?
I'm just down the road just a little bit.
Okay.
And I don't know how far it needs to be when you plot something like this and you need to talk to your neighbors. What's that footage or what is that?
I think it's mailed out. Is it 600 feet?
600 feet by statute.
Well, I am further than 600 feet. So maybe
it's highlighted down there.
But that's just our notification requirements.
Okay. Is it okay that I go ahead and talk or no? It's all right if I'm not. We go to lunch.
No, that's just the radius in which the notifications are sent out. Is that correct, Scott?
You brought up lunch three times.
Hey, I've already got a place to go and meet somebody and whatnot, like some of you guys do. But I was still down the road there a little bit. Because I started to hear kind of some of the processes of trying to turn this into a nightly rental. It's kind of progressed my desire to not see it happen, mostly because once you set that precedent, it's pretty hard to go backwards. It's easier and easier to pass more and more of those things to make happen. And the residents that are there, that's not what people are wanting as far as at this time. And so once those precedent gets passed, I am concerned about that. We've thought about building some stuff on the back of our property. We've got about 10 acres, and I was going to tell Scott, hey, I want to turn everything into nightly rentals. I'm just kidding. But we have thought about it, but it's like we would do that in the light of the rest of the housings that are around us, and we are actually going to come talk about maybe doing something like that with our property, but it'd be like something totally different. It's going to match the neighborhood. The thing that I had the greatest concern of, other than that precedent setting and changing the whole viewpoint of what's around us, is that she was talking about making an alliance with Jesus Was Homeless, because there is a need for people to live. Branson's great about populating jobs for a certain amount of time and low-paying jobs at that moment, and then it shuts down. We all know the story of that. And so there's a lot of people that need a place to live. And she was talking about making an alliance with Jesus Was Homeless. I still use the old name. We were in a ministry for 7 years, my wife and I, where we would help, and we formed alliance with them through another church organization. We would help feed people personally. We'd help do it through the churches. We'd help house people if they couldn't afford it. We'd help personally pay for it. We'd also help through the church and find other avenues of housing people. And she's interested, at least at that moment, had spoke about doing that with those kind of people. And when I say that, it sounds bad. They're people in need, and they have great needs, and it's beyond the housing need. Having alliance with that and saying, hey, in an emergency notice, can they just come stay at my house?
They have emergencies and they have needs, and I'm compassionate about that. But in the ministry we were involved with, we would not, even though I wanted to many times and compassionately want to say, hey, I'll take you to my house, I couldn't do it. I could vet that in my own home for the people around me, because we're talking a lot of them. It's not just a socioeconomical issue. It's a psychological issue. It's a drug addiction issue. It's a pedophile issue. It's this, that, and the other. And,